we wanted you to get connected. What we do is so much more than just one day a week. So if you think like, I did church and it's 1 hour a week, that's not really what church is. So we want all of our church to do more than that. One of the things we want to know, we want you to know about this church, is we study the Bible. And so you really should not be worried about my opinion. I'm not that worried about your opinion, about big eternal things. I want to know what God has to say. And so that's what we're doing in this room. We get together and we ask God, how does this thing work and what do you want us to do? And then hopefully He will answer that. So we're in Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. On page 912 in the chair Bible. If you do not have a Bible, please grab one from the chair. It's on page 912. Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Before we get into it, we're going to pray. It is our hope that we walk out of this room stronger than we walked in. You can do that as a Christian. You can get stronger in the Lord every single day. And so I hope you're not just here thinking, okay, let's get your thing over with. Let's get on with it so we can get to lunch. I hope that you really want to hear from God. That's what my goal is today. So let's pray about it. Father, it's crazy busy all the time. We never stop moving. We never stop just to think about things, Lord. And so I pray that for this hour that we can stop and think and be honest with ourselves and be honest with You and be honest with each other. We are so good at pretending like everything is okay. We are so good at pretending that we know everything. But the reality is that we need You. We need You to tell us the next step in our life. We don't know what is the right thing to do this afternoon. We need Your help to do that. And so, Father, I simply pray that as we study Your Word today, that You teach us and encourage us and lift us up, and if needs be, convict our hearts, change us. We believe that that is what we're called to do. We're not called to get saved and then just sit down and do nothing for the rest of our lives. We want to grow, and we can do that while we are here on this earth. So I pray that You would just bless us this morning as we study Your Word and we sing praises and we celebrate with our church. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Okay, if you are new to this church, one of the things you need to know is that we are very invested in a simple concept, and that's called making disciples. If you've been in this church, you should know that that's what we want to do. We want to make disciples. That is very important to us, not because we think it's a good marketing strategy, but because the God of the universe said, go make disciples. How we make disciples is always a debate for Christians. But what I will say is there are two places where we need to be making disciples. And that is in our actions and our deeds. So actions and deeds. But also in our words. Okay? So for whatever reason, God has designed that we would be His spokespeople for the gospel. If God wanted to write it in the clouds, He could do that. If He wanted to write it in the sand, He could do that. If He wanted to float down a message right in front of people to tell them what to do, He could do that. And He has kind of done that through His Word. But He's also ordained that us as Christians, that we live Christ-like lives, that we look more like Jesus. So people see us, they say, oh, that's what we do. And in addition to our actions, we have to be speaking. It is both. It is not one or the other. Right? Sometimes people think, all I have to do is good deeds. If I just be a nice person, if I just am a nice person, then I'm doing everything I need to do. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that every single Christian is called to speak, to proclaim with words the gospel. It is not just my job or the preacher or the speaker or the teacher's job. Every single Christian in this room has the call to act like a Christian and to speak like a Christian. And so today our focus will be on the speech part of it, because it pertains to this passage, but also because we aren't very good at it. We are very good at making excuses as to why we're not going to tell somebody the truth, as to why we're not going to share the gospel. It's not convenient, it's not right, that's not my gift. All the different reasons we're not good at it. But the clear biblical concept is God wants His children to speak the truth about Jesus Christ. You can't get very far in the New Testament without reading Jesus speaking. Then you turn to Acts and it's just full of sermons and people talking. We have to share the gospel. We have to verbalize what our faith is. We have to face to face with somebody, not put a Facebook post, oh, Jesus is blessing me. Face to face with a human being saying, this is the truth. This is the most important thing to me. This is what you need to know about Jesus. It is our job to speak it. And to be honest with you, our current church system, and we are guilty of that today, this is how we like to do it. We all sit here and one person talks. Right? We've designed this system, which is not necessarily, I'm not saying that what we're doing here is wrong, but this is very much an issue, right? Well, I put money in the box so that guy tells people about Jesus, right? That's my job, is to come and sit in the chair and put the money in the box so he goes and tells people about Jesus. We have these great preachers and speakers and we think, I can't do it. It's not my job. It's just not what the Bible teaches. Do me a favor and just go to the Bible and read and see how God spreads his word. It is through preachers, it is through teachers, but it's also through the individual believers sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. And so today, our study, Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, should help us in that journey. Because if you're thinking about sharing your faith with somebody in your workplace, if you're thinking about having a conversation with your family member, start to get a little bit nervous. You want me to talk to my friend about Jesus? You want me to say that, the gospel? You want me to tell them that they're sinners? We start to get nervous, and so it's not easy. So today I hope that Peter's actions will help us. I hope that what Peter says will help us to be better speakers of the gospel. So let's get into the passage. Let's set it up here. We're Acts chapter 4, verses 5. Okay, so what has happened is, Peter has just preached a sermon to thousands of people, and the Jewish leaders are not happy about it. And they have just taken Peter and John, and they have arrested them. Okay, so Peter and John are speaking the gospel, and then they're arrested because of it. They're arrested because they're telling people the truth about Jesus. And then they're sent to prison for the night to think about it. So Peter and John are sitting in the jail, and they know that tomorrow they're going to have to answer to the high priest. They're going to have to answer to the Sanhedrin. Think about that, what they were thinking about that night. Let me just enhance or clarify the situation in which they were in. They're in prison because they're talking about Jesus Christ. The next day, they're going to stand before a group of people called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin hate Jesus Christ and everything about Jesus Christ. How do I know that, Ben? How do you know they hate Jesus? Because they killed Jesus. They put Jesus on trial and said, we have determined that you should be killed, and they sought it out and they had him killed. That's the Sanhedrin. That's who Paul and Peter and John are getting ready to face the next day. And Peter and John are followers of who? Jesus. The very group of people, very person that the Sanhedrin hates, that's who Peter and John are following. We're Jesus followers, and tomorrow we're going to stand before, in court, people who hate Jesus and have the power to send us to the cross to die because we're following Jesus. They know that they're going to be asked a question the next day. Based on the Jewish custom, if something miraculous happened, previously in Acts chapter 3, a man was healed, they're going to put him before the Sanhedrin and they're going to say, hey, by what name did you do this? That's a Jewish custom. So Peter and John know that they're going to stand before these people who hate Jesus, and they're going to be asked, by what name did you do this amazing thing? The correct answer is going to be Jesus Christ. And so what would you think if you were sitting in jail thinking, I'm going to court tomorrow? The right answer is Jesus. And the people that are going to be on the ruling council, they hate Jesus. They don't want to hear that name. What would you say the next day if you were on that court? That's where we got to be interactive here. We can't just take ourselves and say, like, oh, that's Peter's thing. Ask yourself the question, what would you do? If you were going to stand before a group of people who hated Jesus Christ, and they were going to ask you a question, and you knew the answer was going to be Jesus, what would you think that night? How would you answer the question? I hope that you and I never face that same situation, but it is possible that one day we will. I hope that's not the truth, but it could be. We talked about that last week. So what would you say? I'm not sure. Think about that. Let's look at what Peter says. Okay, so here is Peter and John in jail in verse 5. So Acts chapter 4, verses 5. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, they asked the question they knew was coming, by what power or by what name did you do this? Let's just pause there for a second. Think about the power play here, verse 7. And when they had set them in their midst, they have this council called the Sanhedrin. They put Peter and John in the middle of them, right? Surrounding them with these powerful people who can send them to the cross, who can kill them if they want, or at least send them to Pilate. They're in the midst, and they ask him the question, by what power or what name did you do this? What's Peter going to say? Let's look at what he says. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. I love this verse. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Here's what Peter says. By what name did you do this? By what name was the power of this thing that was done, this lame man healed? Peter says, Jesus Christ. No question about that. Jesus Christ is the name in which we did it. And again, Peter has this thing about not just answering the question. He like goes above and beyond. By the way, just as a reminder, Jesus, who you killed, Sanhedrin. By the way, Sanhedrin, God raised him from the dead. Jesus is God's guy, Sanhedrin, and you killed God's guy. Just so we're clear, Sanhedrin. He says, you rejected Jesus, the cornerstone, the very cornerstone of the entire faith in which you claim you believe, Sanhedrin. That cornerstone, you rejected him. And then he just rubs it in verse 12. They hate Jesus. They don't like the fact that these people are following Jesus. And then Peter says, by the way, if you ever want to be saved, it's only going to be by Jesus Christ. Looking in thesaurus. They have thesauruses, which are fun to look at. I looked at the word bold. This is what Peter's statement was. It was bold. It was audacious. To have the audacity to stand before a bunch of people who have power and hate Jesus and to say, Jesus, who you killed, and God's man who you rejected, the cornerstone who you rejected, that is a bold move. Thesaurus, courageous. Heroic. I love this word. I don't even know if it's a real word. Lion-hearted? Is that a real word? According to Google, it is. Thank you, Seth. You are a wordsmith back there. / guitar hero. Lion-hearted. I like that word. I want people to call me lion-hearted. But that's what Peter does. In the midst of all of these Sanhedrin, he says, I know you hate Jesus, but you killed him, and that's the power in which this man was healed. What a bold move. What a bold and courageous speech that Peter said. And here's what I want us to notice really quick. It wasn't the content that was amazing. Okay? What Peter says is not that impressive. It's not new news. Sometimes this is what we get a lot in church. You're going to go out and share your faith. Oh, I don't think I have enough knowledge. I'm not smart enough. I'm not as smart as other people. Okay? That's a response. I don't know what to say. I don't know enough. Look, what Peter says is not that profound. The amazing part about what Peter does is not what he says. Right? The content is pretty basic. There's nothing new here. He just answers the question, by what name? Jesus. And then he says, you killed him. They know it. He knew it. That's not new information. God raised him from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. That's not new. The part about the cornerstone that was prophesied in the Old Testament, and then Jesus says it. So Peter is just saying it for the third time. It's not new. It's not like Peter was so smart he came up with this great answer. And the last part, there is salvation in no one else except through Jesus. He's just reiterating what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, you want to get to heaven? You want to get to the Father? You got to go through me. And so Peter's just saying, yeah, this is what Jesus said. You got to go through him. So the amazing thing here is not what he says. We put so much value on, oh, I got to know everything. I got to know every answer. I don't know how to answer everybody. Now, you should be studying towards that goal, but what he says is not that amazing. He's just reiterating what he's heard before. If you're a Christian, you should know the gospel, the basics. We've got six-year-olds that can tell us the gospel. It's not that complicated. Get a little wordless book, right? Black page, a red page, a white page, a yellow page, and a green page. And walk through those. Done. It's not that complicated. But it wasn't the content of what Peter said that was so amazing on that day. It was the context. It was his audience. It was standing before people who hate what you're getting ready to say and saying it unapologetically. Jesus Christ. So, you answered the question in your mind, what would you say? Peter stands up and is lion-hearted and bold and courageous and heroic. Let's ask the question, what would you have done? Would you have had the boldness to do what Peter did? Put yourself in that situation. You're on trial. And you know that the court does not want to hear the name of Jesus. And it's going to be not good for you if you say the name of Jesus. Would you have had the boldness to say what he said? Would you have had the courage to say what he said? Now we all know what the answer should be. We all know, yeah, I should have said. You're supposed to say yes. And we all know what the answer is supposed to be. But the reality is, American church in 2018, most of us probably would have chickened out. Most of us probably would have said, take the fifth. I don't want to incriminate myself. Most of us would have said, well, we can define this and maybe what did you mean and talk our way out of it. We want to believe that we would have the boldness to stand up and proclaim the name of Jesus. But the reality is, we're all included in this. Is most of the time, we would have chickened out. Why do I say that? Why are you saying that, Ben? That's just not helpful. Because less than half of Christians in America have ever shared their faith with anybody. And so if you can't share your faith and tell somebody about Jesus in a free nation, then you're definitely not going to do it standing in front of a court. There's a statistic out about North America, and there's a big study about Christians, and they asked them the question, how many times have you clearly proclaimed the gospel to another human being in the last 6 months? The number one answer was zero. None. We love to believe that we would go proclaim the gospel, but we're not doing it. Some of us are, and maybe 1 out of 10 we're good, or maybe 3 out of 10. Maybe sometimes we get it. The majority is, we're not doing it. We're not saying what needs to be said. We have answers like, well, that's between me and God. My faith is mine. I'm not going to talk about my faith with other people. We're very, very good about talking our way out of it. So I would have to say that all of us, I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that we're the shining star in the church, but my guess is we're probably not. A lot of us would probably not have done the right thing. And so the question is why? If Jesus tells us, go tell people about Jesus, and we want to tell people about Jesus, we want them to know Jesus, we want them to come to know Christ, that's what we want, we know we're supposed to, why don't we? Why is it that we aren't doing so well in this? And we can come up with a lot of different answers, but I think the answer really is, we're afraid. We're scared. One of our 10-year-olds this week said that our church, if adults aren't doing it, they're wimps. We're just afraid. When you're standing before somebody and you know, and you can start to feel the tension, and they're saying, "So do you think I'm going to go to hell?" Your heart starts pumping. What are you going to say in that moment? The fear paralyzes us. I don't know. What do you mean? We're afraid. We're scaredy cats. We chicken out all the time. We know. Okay, so here's what I know about Christians. If you've been a Christian for more than a year or two, you know that God is giving you an opportunity to share the gospel. You know that you're standing in a room and everybody's like, "Yeah, just do whatever you want and everybody will end up in heaven." And you know, no, you can't do whatever you want. That's not what God says. But time after time after time and again, we chicken out and we say, "Oh, I guess that's right. I guess that would be the nicest thing to say." We're so afraid to stand boldly and proclaim the name of Jesus. But what the Bible teaches us is that we don't have to be. There is a way to be like Peter. There is a way in the hardest and most difficult circumstances to stand up for the name of Jesus and to speak it with words. So what did Peter do? How did Peter get away with it? Because here's what we know about Peter. Prior to Acts, Peter is a coward. Peter's a scaredy cat. Peter's like all out there, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to fight for Jesus." But when it comes down to it, Peter is a coward. Here, he's standing before the Sanhedrin, and he proudly proclaims the name of Jesus. But a couple months before, there's a servant girl standing around a fire, and she says, "Don't you know Jesus?" Peter says, "Nope, I don't know who Jesus is." No. "You're with Jesus." "No, I am not. I do not know who Jesus is." "No, you've been with Jesus." Peter says for the third time, "I don't know who Jesus is." He chickens out three times. This is a new Peter. This is a Peter 2.0. How'd that happen? Because I want that. I'm kind of like the pre-Peter, right? Kind of chickening out. "Oh, I don't know. How do I get to be like Peter in Acts chapter 5 who says, 'Jesus Christ, Sanhedrin, who you killed.' How do we get to be like that?" The answer is found in verse 8. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit." That's the answer. He's got the Holy Spirit of God in his heart, in his soul. That's it? That's the answer? Yes, that's the answer. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit of God. Peter's courage and boldness and lion heart does not come from Peter. It's not found within himself. He didn't dig deep and find that strength. If Peter dug deep, he would find more fear. It's not Peter's courage. That courage comes from the Holy Spirit of the God of the universe. So I don't know if you were going to be thought it was going to be a longer answer than that. That's the answer, the Holy Spirit. So then, properly, we should probably ask the question, well, how do I get that, right? If that's the answer, then how do I get that? I want some of that. I want some Holy Spirit in my life. We've been talking about three very simple things, and they would be very helpful in pursuit of being like Peter and being bold. Bible, church, prayer. I've just been hammering that. Bible, church, prayer. You want to be a solid Christian? Read the Bible. Be involved with your church, not just 1 hour a week. Connect with your church and pray all the time. If you picked up your Bible and read it on a regular basis, you would read something like this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7. You can go there if you want. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Paul tells Timothy, who's a young man, you don't have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power and love and self-control. The Spirit of God who gave David the power to stand before Goliath, that's the spirit that you have in you. If you picked up your Bible, you would read that every single Christian in this room is indwelt with the very power that Peter had. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our souls if you're a Christian. Pick up the Bible, read it, and say, oh, that's what I have? Thanks for telling me, God. That's helpful to remember. Oh, the God of the universe says that I have exactly what I need. It's already there if I'm a Christian. Bible church prayer. Church. I love it. It's not just Peter by himself. It's Peter and John. Right? When Jesus sends out the 72 disciples, he sends them out in pairs. There's something about serving the Lord and doing things when you've got a brother and sister in Christ right next to you that gives you a little more confidence. Maybe it's accountability. Maybe it's like, I don't want to chicken out in front of this guy. Maybe that's what it is. Or it's just the fact of me and this other brother or sister in Christ, we know what's happening. And we're going to stand boldly and proclaim the name of Jesus. There's just something about being around your brothers and sisters in Christ that gives you the courage and the boldness. And that's the Holy Spirit working. Bible, church, prayer. You want to have what Peter had? Get on your knees and pray. Same chapter here, Acts chapter 4, verses 29. This is later, and we'll get to this later, but Acts chapter 4, verses 29. The church in Acts says this in verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats of the people that hated the church, and grant to your servants to continue to do what? To speak your word with all boldness. The church in Acts, they knew this is going to be hard. And I cannot do this without the power of God. And so they said, God, you better show up, because if it's up to us, we're not going to be able to do it. So we're asking you, God, for the power to speak boldly for your name. All you got to do is ask. Bible church prayer. If you want the Holy Spirit, read your Bible, spend time with your church, and get on your knees and ask God. And then there is this, I guess called an X factor. It's just, do you trust God? Do you have faith that God's going to come through when you need Him? Luke chapter 12, verses 11. So it's an amazing passage. So maybe you're thinking, I've got something I need to say this week. Maybe God's put something on your heart right now. And He's like, after church, go talk to that person. Don't chicken out this time. Go talk to that person. Luke chapter 12, verses 11. Maybe this will help. I'm sure that this helped Peter in his time. Luke chapter 12, verses 11. This is Jesus Christ said, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, that would have been helpful to Peter, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. To be honest with you, if Peter was listening to this, he was sitting in jail, not worried at all. I don't know what I'm going to say tomorrow. But I know that Jesus Christ said, when I stand before the synagogue rulers and the authorities, that the Holy Spirit is going to give me what I need at that very hour. So do you trust that? Do you believe that? Do you have confidence that God's going to show up at the last minute? That's just faith. The people in your world need to hear the truth. If you're a Christian, you have the love of Jesus Christ. You have the hope of heaven. You have all of the great things of what it is to be a believer. Your sins are forgiven. You don't bear that weight anymore. But the people in your world who are not Christians, they need to know about it. And they may need to know about it from you. They need to hear the truth about Jesus Christ, and we need to be telling them. We don't need to be saying, well, isn't the guy up front supposed to do that? It is my job to do what I do, but it's all of our jobs to share the gospel. The people in our world need a conversation about Jesus, not another conversation about fantasy football. About, well, the weather again. I mean, it's just the things that we talk about are so insignificant. People need to hear about Jesus, and we talk about everything other than Jesus. So you may be thinking, I can't. I'm not that guy. I don't have that. I can't. I don't speak well. Talk to Moses. What did God say to him? Go do it. You think and I think, I can't do it. It's too hard. But God says, yes, you can. And when you do it, there will be no one to glorify except God, because you'll say, I couldn't have done that. Must have been the power of God. If you're here today and you are not a Christian, I'm going to try my best to lay out the gospel as simple as I possibly can. I'm not going to bring any new revelation. I haven't heard anything from God. What I've heard is what God said in His Bible. Here's what I know. If you're not here today and you're not a Christian, your heart is stained with sin. Okay? As much as you try, you can't scrub it off. You can dig down to the depths of your soul. You can't scrub off the stain of sin. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed His blood. By His blood, your dark heart can be made clean. And so you have a choice today and every day that you live. Are you going to believe that? Do you believe that you have a stained, sinned heart? Do you believe that Jesus Christ's blood can pay the price? And are you going to accept it? It's either yes or no. No, I don't believe I'm a bad person. I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus to make me good. You can say, no, I don't believe that some guy dying on a cross makes me good. No, I don't care if he did anyway. I'm not going to accept it. Or you can say yes. You can say, yes, my heart is dirty. And I can't make it right on my own. And I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ can make it clean. And I want to accept that today. You have that choice. And if it would be that you would repent and follow Jesus Christ and accept what He did for you, then you get the gold page of our wordless book. You get to be in heaven with God forever. You get to have a true and genuine relationship with the God of the universe forever and ever, as opposed to spending an eternal destiny apart from Him in damnation. So, my job is to speak. All of our job is to speak. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, that's the truth. You need Jesus. There's no other name except the name of Jesus that will make you righteous. You need Jesus. The question is, do you believe it and are you going to accept it? Let's pray. Father, forgive us for those times when we chicken out. We all know exactly what it feels like. We know when we're right at the brink and we can tell there's spiritual warfare going on around in our hearts and we just know the conversation needs to be had. And so many times we chicken out. So forgive us for those times. James says when we know the thing that we're supposed to do and we don't do it, it's a sin. And so when you have provided an opportunity for us to speak the gospel and we don't, we've wronged you. We've done the wrong thing. And I just pray that you would forgive us for that. But teach us today that we don't have to chicken out. We can be like Peter 2.0, standing before people who hate us, and we can proudly and boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. And Father, we know that as we proclaim the gospel, some may not accept it, but some will. And we will get to partner with the God of the universe in saving lost souls from hell. So Father, we know that we can't dig deep and just make it happen. We must rely on You. And I pray that we would have the faith that in that moment to take that step and boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. And Father, part of this deal is we can't do it. We can't change a man's heart. We can't change a person's heart. But You can. So I don't know what is going on in this room. There could be people in this room who are far from You and have never heard of Your name or never thought about it. But I just pray that Your Spirit would work in their hearts. They would believe that they need You to be righteous. And that they will never be made right without You. And I pray that they surrender and repent to follow You. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen.